Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's so good to have you all here this morning, and we are in for a treat. Now, last time you folks were here was January. It was very, very cold. That's not a nice time of the year. And I don't know, it seems kind of funny because I was thinking the other day that we are always sad to see summer go, but we're very unhappy to see winter come. Kind of a mixed emotions as we see the change of weathers, but you're going to a place that you won't have to shovel any snow anyway. But we're glad to have Peter and Josie Marie with us this morning, and they are going to bless us and fill us in from the last time. I remember that last time we were praying over direction for you, and things are coming into place. So we welcome you this morning to Cornwall Pentecostal Church. Come and share what God has been doing in your lives. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor Bates. Good morning, everybody. I had a thought that came over my mind this morning while I was praising the Lord with you. How many of us, you don't lift your hands, just be honest inside. This morning, coming to church was a sacrifice. Maybe a sacrifice of your time, your will, your health. Somewhere you had to make an effort to be here today. I'm so pleased that you made the effort to be here today, because it's a sacrifice. And Jesus knows something about sacrifices. And you've made a sacrifice to be here with us today. So I just want to thank you for being here today. Thank you for your sacrifice of your time, your effort, whatever sacrifice you had to do to be here today. Thank you. I don't know if anybody said thank you today for making that sacrifice, but I'd like to say thank you. Because it's something difficult. Sacrifices are not easy. They're not easy. But you made it. You're here. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just say, thank you, Lord, that I made the decision to be here this day. I made that sacrifice, and I'm waiting on you, Lord. And Father, we're waiting on you to come and join us today in our suffering, because we've made a sacrifice to be here today. And please be sensitive to those that are around you that made a sacrifice to be here today. They might have come to church with a smile on their face. Yeah. My father-in-law suffered a lot in the last years of his life, and he had a smile on his face every time that he saw us come over. So you've probably made a sacrifice of smiling over the sacrifice of being here. So God bless you today. Amen. Pastor Bates invited me to come and share with you what's going on with Haiti, but I would like to share with you a parcel of the Word of God, because we'll look at a few Bible verses before we get into talking about Haiti, because we come to church to be fed spiritually. So Haiti, our discussion on Haiti will be like the le cerise sur Sunday. I don't know how you translate that in French, in English. The cherry on the Sunday. So we'll just keep the cherry for the end, and let's get into the Word of God, which will be even more nutritious for us than the cherry, if we put it that way. And so we have somebody taking care of the PowerPoint this morning, I believe. No? So we'll just keep it on this picture, and then we'll go to the first Bible verse when we get there in a few seconds. Because I'd like to share with you a story before we get into the message. It's really like a story to help us prepare and to understand the direction of the message this morning. A number of years ago, I was in a ministry, and we were in a situation where we had to take care of two houses. So that's a burden. We had a house in Edmondson, New Brunswick, and I was working in Quebec. And in Quebec, we were living in a house. At that time, we had four children living with us. Our children are now grown up and gone. But at that time, we had four children with us, and they were young. And we had to provide for their needs, and we needed a house. So we were staying in a house while we were doing ministry, but we hadn't sold a house. And that house that was not sold was a financial burden. And when you look at your finances and you see every month your bank account is going down, you know exactly when you're going to hit rock bottom. And I knew it was going to happen in a few months. So I was whining and crying before the Lord. Any of you ever do that? I was doing that. My trust was at an all-time low. So I was whining and crying. And my, how can I put it this way? My masculine orgueil, pride, was taking a beating. Because I'm going to lose my house. I was renting a house, but our house, my wife and I was in the process of seeing it gone. And I was taking a beating. Emotionally, I was taking a beating. Intellectually, I was taking a beating. And my pride was being hammered on real well. So I'm whining and crying. And the Lord says to me, so? So I start whining and crying again. And he says to me, so? And I started crying again and whining. But Lord, I'm going to lose the house, blah, 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 blah. And the Lord says to me, so? That stopped me right in my tracks. He just said to me three times, so? And I realized, and it hit me. God was speaking to me. I finally realized that he was talking to me, and it had already been three times before I woke up. God, who created everything, was telling me, so? And then it hit me. So what? I let go. The burden was gone. I was breathing normally. I was seeing normally. I was feeling normally. I still remember that day walking to work, because I used to walk 1 kilometer to go to work, the ministry. And it was the first day since weeks that instead of looking at the ground, I was looking above ground. And what a beautiful, it was a beautiful day. It was sunshiny. I was walking, it's springtime, it's beautiful. I'm feeling so light. That burden was gone from my shoulders. I'm walking on air, not the running shoes, but on asphalt. But I was just striding down to work. I was whistling. I was happy. I'm at my desk working that morning, and around 11 o'clock, just before lunch, the phone rings, and I recognize the voice of a gentleman on the phone. It was one of the board of the members from the church in Edmundston, New Brunswick. I'm now in Quebec. I recognize his voice. I say, oh, hi, how's it going? He goes, oh, it's doing well. He goes, Peter, we would like to rent your house. There was nobody living in it. Because there was nobody living in it, I had to pay for this house. I had to pay for the heating. I had to pay for everything. It was coming out of my pockets. Nobody had rented it. And he said, we'd like to rent it for a new pastor that's coming to our church. He needs a place to stay for 3 months. But after he said 3 months, I knew my spirit. He was going to be there for as long as he had to be, and he was going to help me financially. Amazing. The phone call, the same day I let go, I got the blessing. That was an amazing time. That was so amazing. To live that experience, I can still feel it. I just let go, and the blessing came. No more fear. No more male pride on losing your home. No more of all those negative thoughts. And then the Lord rescued me. At that moment, that was amazing. I'd like to read you a Bible verse. And within the first few words, you will find the title of my message. It's in 2 Corinthians 4:8. If we can bring that up on the PowerPoint. Okay, within the first few words, we can see the title of my message. The title of my message is Hard Pressed. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We are always carrying about in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that this word may become ours today, Father. As we look into your word, Father, concerning being hard-pressed, you have something to tell us today, Father, that will be a revelation to us, that will help us to be free and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. When I look at Bible verse 11, it says, "For we who are alive are always being given over death for Jesus' sake." I see a similarity between that thought and being a soldier. A soldier who is in war. That's a thought that comes to my mind when I'm looking at this. Oh, and just please don't forget this. We are in a spiritual war. We are in a spiritual war. And there are similarities between the two. We may be dying physically. That, again, is a spiritual war. We may be living things emotionally. Imagine a guy that's on the front. He's been there for, let's say, 12 hours with his gun, and he's hearing gunshots. What is he going through emotionally? Imagine a young man. He's got a wife at home with children. He's on the front. He's seen his friends die around him. What is he dying emotionally inside? How is he holding up? How are we holding up? Are we hard-pressed, just like a soldier? Yes, we are. Because the Bible says that we are fellow soldiers. We'll look at it in Philippians 2:25, our next PowerPoint. Philippians 2:25, it says this. Yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus. I hope I said that right in English. You have it there at least. My brother and companion labor and fellow soldier. He is quite aware that his friend, like himself, are soldiers. He's a fellow soldier. But your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Did you know that as soldiers, we have three enemies? Probably if I asked if somebody could tell me what are our three enemies, a few of you would be able to say, I know who they are. And I know them by heart. But I said, I want to find a Bible verse where it reveals that to us. And I found it in Ephesians 2:1. And we'll have a look at it. And it says here, and you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom you once walked or once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Our three enemies are the devil, the flesh, and men. And this war continues today with these three enemies. And it's because of this war that we are hard-pressed. But the Bible is good news. We have good news. The Bible says in Romans 8:37, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You are guaranteed, promised, given, you felt it before, even if you're not feeling it today. Like I mentioned, we might have come to church today making a sacrifice to come to church, doubting that God still loves us, but he still loves us. And he says to us, we are more than victorious. More than victorious. And since we're more than victorious, and since we are hard-pressed, this brings about a question. How not to be unnecessarily hard-pressed? How can we be unnecessarily hard-pressed? I think you might have all heard it before, that how do you get the best oil from olives? By hard pressing them. You will get the best oils out of olives if you hard press them. So we will be hard pressed. Because God wants to get the best out of us. But nous sommes pas des masochistes. How would you translate in French? We're not people that hurt themselves unintentionally, or we don't put ourselves voluntarily into a situation to be hard pressed, saying, oh, something better will come out of this. We're not going to sin and be hard pressed to have something better in our life. God will create the situations to hard press us. But the question is, how not to be unnecessarily hard pressed? That's interesting, because you can be hard pressed by God, not because of sin or something else, and be unnecessarily hard pressed. Because we have something to learn today, how we can get through it, be more than victorious, and keep a smile on our face. And here we go. First thing. David, King David, was a man that pleased God. He pleased God. We're going to go over to my seventh PowerPoint image, where it says Acts 13:22b. The Bible says this about David. I have found David, the son of Jesse, to be a man after my own heart who will carry out my will. David knew how to please God. And what pleased God the most was that he was a man that practiced repentance. Had he not practiced repentance and repeatedly, where would he be today? What would God say of him? We all know his worst story with Bathsheba. He has had a man killed to have his wife. But he was repentant. He didn't put himself, I can say, voluntarily into a situation to be hard-pressed. He took a bad decision because he didn't consult God. He just did things his way, without thinking about God. And he thought about, how can I get this man's wife? I'll have him killed. He just had a bad thought. And he acted out on that thought. But then when he was realizing by the help of a prophet that he had sinned, he didn't say, not a problem, I'm the king. I can do whatever I want. No, he knew what he had done. He realized it and he repented. So he was after God's heart. And God loved David. And he said that David was a man after my own heart. He pleased God. So if you're hard-pressed, how can we please God? Well, you might have been hard-pressed to come here today, but you're pleasing God because you made the decision to come. It cost you. But God is going to meet you. He's going to help you. He's there for you. David was a soldier. I'd like to read, this will be PowerPoint 6. I'd like to read with you 2 Timothy 2:4. It says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. David, you can honestly say, David missed that one. He entangled himself with the affairs of everyday life, had a man killed, to have what he wanted, but he repented. That pleases God. But never in the thought of David. If David was here today and you were to ask him, was it worth it? What do you think he would tell you? He would say, never. Never in 100 years was it worth it. To sin against God is never worth it. And David would be the first one to tell you, don't go down that path that I took. Oh, then you can argue and say, well, look at what happened to him. He has a son who becomes a king, and he was the wisest man in the world. They would say, don't go down that path. because God would have given David that son anyways. Because it was in God's plan. It was in God's plan. Don't go down those wrong paths thinking that you'll do God's will. Talking about paths, listen to this one. PowerPoint 8, Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Amen. How not to be hard-pressed. Be repentant, walk in the Spirit. And the third one, we already put it into practice today. Very interesting. I'm not a musician, so I'm not here to do music ministry this morning. But I get to tell you something that I've learned about music. You can sing, you can praise, or you can worship. Singing has a horizontal direction. Pastor Bates, it'll be your birthday. It was your birthday this month, I think, right? We just passed it. So I can sing you happy birthday. You don't want me to sing happy birthday. But if I ask that young lady and the ladies that were here that have beautiful voices to sing, well, then we would have something to sing about and to celebrate. But not me. But I can sing. And I can sing with no emotion. Imagine you're a child and you're in elementary school and there's a boy that's always picking on you or a girl that's always giving you trouble and it's her birthday and the teacher says to the classroom, everybody stand and sing happy birthday, and you're going to sing happy birthday to you very unemotionally. We can sing Sunday songs very unemotionally. Or we can start to praise. Well, that takes the arrow, instead of being at horizontal, we start lifting up our heart, our emotions to God. So then we start praising God. Emotionally, we're connected to the song and we're being connected to God. So then you say, okay, the arrow for singing is horizontal. The arrow for praising is towards God. What's worship? That's when we touch his heart through praise and he looks down on us and he comes to us emotionally. Amen. So the arrow comes back down to us. Then we're in worship. Then we're in connection. We're praising God with all of our heart and he's enjoying it and he's just pouring out his emotion on us. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine doing that while you're going through a hard time and being hard-pressed, praising God? You can be crying to God, this is hurting me so much. Just start praising and worshiping him and thanking him for who he is and for his power. And all of a sudden, God starts to come down towards you and he brings you his emotion. When I let go, I was praising God, I could say. Aren't you worried I'm going to lose my house? And my emotion was all there. And he just said to me, so. But his so was not neutral. His so was to get my attention so that he can realize that he wants to come down to meet me. But I was holding on so much to my house, I was not holding on to God. I was being hard-pressed, but holding on to the wrong thing. I was being hard-pressed in what I wanted. My house, my pride, my dwelling, my things, the object of my affection was somewhere in there, but it wasn't God. Then he gave me a wake-up call. So? And it woke me up after three times. I'd like to tell you that was the first time and the last time I almost lost my house. I had to go through that again two other times. I had learned to let go, I could say almost intellectually. But in practice, I still hadn't learned to let go because I also almost lost my house two times after that. today, I have completely let go of my house because I'm going to Haiti. We're leaving October 9th. Our plane tickets are bought. We're going to Haiti. I'm entering, if I can put it this way, the promised land. But to get there, in the context that I was in, the faith my wife and I are walking with is that we can't bring our house to Haiti. So we sold it. Because the Lord told us, other pastors, missionaries, the Lord says to them, keep your house. The Lord told us 6 years ago, I want you to travel light. 4 years later, he calls us to go to ministry overseas. We've been working at this for the last 2 years. And now we're finally going. And we're going happily. No more house. No more something to call mine, because my house is in Christ. And as long as the Lord keeps my wife and I together in health, walking together, going into ministry together, we're not worried about our future. As long as I have Jesus and my wife is by my side, I'm okay. Thank you, Lord. But we're learning to praise God in through difficult times. We're learning to walk in the Spirit, and we're learning to repent. Next verse, Romans 12:1, the ninth PowerPoint. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We want to please God. Remember this concerning our 3 points. The first one was David in his heart. God's power flows through hard times when we have an attitude of repentance continuously. That doesn't mean you're always sinning. I'm sinning, gotta repent. If you're not sinning, please keep a repentant heart that keeps you humble and it makes God flow with his power through you. When you walk in the Spirit, as our second point, you might be going through a fire or being really hard-pressed like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego when they were thrown into a furnace. But remember this. If you're walking in the Spirit, you won't feel the heat. You'll be aware of it. You'll be aware of what's going on, but you won't feel it. The Lord will protect you. And when you adore God, like we were mentioning in our third point, he comes with his presence and he surrounds you. Negative emotions bring us negative thoughts. Positive emotions that are surrounded by God are healed, bring us the proper thoughts. There was an expression, I think you may understand what I'm saying. People had philosophies on being positive. You have to have positive thoughts. Okay? We're not into positivism. Okay? But if you're not feeling well, how are your thoughts? When I'm feeling lousy, my mind doesn't think properly. But when I'm healthy emotionally, there's something that goes on also spiritually when I'm connected to God. I can think clearly. So if you're being hard-pressed in terms of your emotions, just step back a few seconds and say, what's going on? Why can't I get my thoughts straight? Why can't I remember God's promises? When I try to think, I remember his promises. I remember how he saved me out of losing my house the first time and the second time and the third time. I had a hard lesson to learn, and it took 3 times. And it was 3 miracles. Thank you, Lord. But am I going to remember when I'm on the field in Haiti and I'm being hard-pressed in another situation? Well, Lord, help me to remember this message. So I'm preaching to myself. Are you with me? I hope so. Because I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to you. But you know who's doing a real work here? The Holy Spirit, who's convincing you of the necessity of having a repentant heart, walking in the Spirit, and to learning to praise Him in every situation. I don't know if you know who Ron Canole is. He had a song that was titled Going Ahead. And in that song, and I really like that song, he was saying this: if you're going through hell, don't stop. He knew a thing or two about being hard-pressed. It's like going through hell. But he said, don't stop. Don't start a pity party in hell. Oh, poor me. No, wait a second. Wait a second. Okay, Lord, I want to have a repentant heart. I want to humble myself before you. I want to start walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is moving. Didn't you notice the website when we were looking at the video that we just saw? Did anybody notice the title of the website? Motion Worship. I thought that was so amazing. I knew my message. Walk in the Spirit. Walk means motion. Worship. So if you're going through hell, and that's a song, he's worshiping God going through hell. That is amazing. God is with us today, and he's talking to us. I'm looking around for time because I don't want to go over my time. Okay, so we're doing good. We'll finish by 2 o'clock this afternoon. God is the light at the end of the tunnel. Amen. It's not a train coming towards you. Actually, if he's like a train, well, he's got big open arms, he's running after us to grab us and say, I'll get you out of here. So run to your Heavenly Father before you are hard-pressed, and you will be amazed what you can go through. Because if you can start practicing it now, when you start getting hard-pressed, you risk not forgetting about it, and you'll start going through it with His power, and you'll be amazed what you can go through. I'd like to leave you with a last verse. I didn't put it on the PowerPoint because I got it one evening after all this was prepared. I woke up during the night. I was having trouble breathing, sniffling. I don't know what's going on these days. I guess I'm tired or something. But I woke up in the middle of the night feeling lousy. And instead of having a pity party, I opened my Bible and started reading. And the Lord knew the message I had already prepared. And the Lord gave me a Bible verse. But before reading this Bible verse, I'd like to ask you a few questions. If you can imagine the worst hard-pressed situation you can go through, for me, having lived a youth and adult life until about the age of 30-something, being sick so regularly, living problems of asthma attacks, sinus problems, I went through hell through one period of my life. At one point, I was saying to the Lord, come and take my life. I can't handle it anymore. So if you were to ask me, what's hard-pressed? Hard-pressed for me would to be dying horribly in pain. That for me would be the worst hard-pressed situation. And if anybody's going through that right now, please understand that I have a lot of compassion for your situation. But I'd like to read for you a Bible verse that I hope will help you get through that hard-pressed times. Because we have no idea how we're going to die. So I like declaring this so the devil can hear. I'm going to grow old, healthy, and die in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Wir oder happy, wir old, oder happy, and asati. So I'm going to die old, happy, and health. Because I don't want to know anything else. Okay, so I'm preparing myself mentally and emotionally and spiritually. Spiritually, because I want the devil to know, you can't get me. You can try. You can try hard. But I have more promises than you have arrows against me. So that's the context I'd like you to remember when I read this Bible verse. Because it's so powerful. Because if it's real for the most hard-pressed situation of my life that I can imagine, Every other situation is so faded compared to this, because this is the most hard-pressed situation. And look what God says to me this morning about this hard-pressed situation. Okay? Psalm 48:14. For this our God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. He will be my guide. That is amazing. The most hard-pressed situation, even if I'm entering heaven through death, in the most hard-pressed situation, I can see my Heavenly Father there holding my hand and saying to me, this is the path to which you will glorify me. So I hope I don't die like Peter, upside down crucified. But if I do, Peter went through it because God was his guide. And to God the glory. We will enter into heaven, not whining and crying, but praising and thanking God, even if this is the most hard-pressed situation, because he has a solution himself. And he presents himself, holds our hand, and takes us through it. Somebody praise God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So this morning, it's our pleasure, my wife and I, to share with you what we have been through since the last time we were here and where we're going in a little bit over 2 weeks. So I'd like to go to PowerPoint 11, yeah, the next one. I don't know if everybody can see this clearly. This is a picture of Haiti. And those red dots are everywhere we went in a two-week trip in the month of April. I'm looking at my wife because I just want to make sure it was April. Okay. Our last year has been so busy. We've been traveling across Quebec, New Brunswick, and Ontario. We've done over 50 presentations in the last year. So we've been a little bit more than a year. So we've been quite busy on the road. And if you honestly ask me the date and hour that I was here last year, or in January, I don't remember. But in April, I remember where I was for 2 weeks. We traveled across Haiti during those 2 weeks. Now, why did we do that? Why? It's because the last time we were here, we shared with you what our long-time vision and ministry will be in Haiti. So I will just go back for those who weren't here last time, and just to help you refresh your memory to understand where we were at when we went there. So I'd like to go to PowerPoint 17, which is a circle with the cycle of life. When I was here last time, I mentioned to you that the ministry that we're going to focus on came out of the image just before this one. So the image just before this one, you will see it's a bit different from this one, because the image just before it has certain arrows shaded out. So if we can go back, Wendy, if we can go back to the PowerPoint just before this one, please. Okay. It should be, okay, it's 18. Yep. The next one. So I was wrong. Okay. In Haiti, this is a life cycle. The life cycle that was just before it represents Canada. When we grow up, there is not much that stops our life cycle from going forward and completing, going from birth to death, and everything flows. But in Haiti, when we finish high school and we start adult life, where do we go? That was a reality of Haiti. These children go to school, but unfortunately, when they're in school, they're learning very much head knowledge, very little or not at all experience where they can use their hands and do something with their hands. I did this presentation a few months ago after coming here in a Haitian church in Montreal. And after I made the presentation, I had over 100 critics sitting in front of me, people that were born in Haiti. The pastor was born and raised in Haiti, got his education. And when he stood up in front of the congregation, he said this. He said, Pastor Peter, you are right. When I finish high school, after a few years, I realized that I did not know how to do anything with my hands. When we finish high school, I'd like to give you an example of what we have learned. We have learned how to wash dishes, do our laundry. We have learned how to work maybe at McDonald's or Staples or another store. We've had work experience by the time we finish high school, even before going to CGIP. We might have worked in day camps. We might have worked as a lifeguard. We have worked in the kitchen with mom. We've worked in the wood shop with dad. We've learned how to use a lawnmower, a snowblower. We might even have our license to drive. We have a lot of practical experience when we grow up here in Canada from our youth until our adult life. We finish high school, we can almost go to work. And many of us do. But in Haiti, there are so few jobs. They're finishing their education. And they want to go into the workforce, but they have no experience. So through my analysis of going to Haiti and visiting Haiti, we've realized that we have to bring Jesus plus practical experience. So we want to start in a long term, a trade school. And we want to start with them when they're young. Because most of the children, when they go to an educational system in Haiti and they go to grade 12 or 13 in Haiti, they're all thinking, I'm going to university. So it's too late to grab them, whether they're at that age, to go to a trade school. Because to go to them to a trade school when you're thinking university, you're going to have a lot of trouble to convince them to go to a trade school. So we want to start with them when they're young. And there are things that I saw in Haiti. When we travel across the country, we can see the schools, the orphanages, and they're all saying, we can see the problem, but we need help to start a trade school. So where we are at in Haiti right now is we're starting, even before we got there, if we can come back to the image, Wendy, with all the places we visited in Haiti, all those places that you saw in Haiti on the image are places where we went, met the children, like in this picture here. We met the children, we met the ministers, and we can hear their hearts yearning to start a trade school. We've met trade schools in Haiti that are yearning for workers because they have all the equipment they need to do certain trades, but they don't have the worker to teach the kids how to do it. So they found donors from Canada or United States that brought them the equipment, but they can't teach it because they don't have the people. So where are those workers going to come from? From Haiti. So we have to train them up so they can become workers. So they become businessmen. They have to be able to learn how to do things, not only learn, but practically do it, and also to teach others. So we have a lot of things to do in Haiti. And we need your help to reach these children. This is an example. When I was in Haiti the last time, this will actually be where we will be staying starting October 9th. It's a ministry that's already established in Haiti. They have pre-kindergarten, up until grade 9. But their vision, that's why we're going to be living there, is they want to start a trade school. And when they found out we want to start a trade school, they're like saying, you're godsend. This is where we are. This is what we need. Because they're realizing they don't want all their kids to go to high school thinking we're going to all go to university. It's unfortunate. There's two places where children want to go when they finish high school. They want to go to university and study to become a nurse or a lawyer. They cannot all become lawyers or nurses. And one day I was speaking to a minister who's in Haiti. He's been there for a long time. And he says, I just heard statistics the other day in Haiti. He said, Haiti trained up 4,000 nurses in Haiti last year. Hold on a second. Wait a second. Wait before you say praise God. When I was in Haiti the last time, Wendy, Can you bring it us to the picture of all the country with the red dots? Now, I was in Haiti. Port-au-Prince is about here, okay? So it's going to show up. Here's Port-au-Prince. This is where you land with the plane, and there's two or three ministries that we met here. We traveled all the way out here to this region. In that region, there's a ministry there established by a Quebec organization that started a ministry. They have a hospital. It so happened that when I was there, there were 16 girls from Quebec. None of these girls knew Christ as a personal savior. But the pastor of that ministry, who lives in Quebec, went to a school in Montreal and offered them that the girls can come and do, most of the students at that time were girls, the girls can come to Haiti and do their last work training session before they get their diploma. So they have to do a stage. I don't know how to say that, a stage de travail. They have to do a work session, a practical work session before they get the diploma, so they can be evaluated on the field. And the university or the school accepted that these girls can go to this ministry, and they don't know Christ. So they're getting a two-for-one, training and spiritual training. It was great. But I'm sitting at a table with these girls one day, and they're all there. And I said to them, and I know the statistics of the 4,000 girls that are graduating from nursing school last year in Haiti. And I asked them, and I said to them, how many of you already have jobs waiting for you? In French, it's called le taux de placement. It's the rate of placement, something like that. You know, what's the percentage of you that have jobs waiting for you? They're not even finished school. And they sort of chuckled and laughed. And it's like, that's a stupid question. 100%. We all have jobs waiting for you. And I looked them in the eyes and I said to them, do you know how many girls in this country have studied this year? I said, 4,000. And I said to them, what's the percentage of them that will be finding jobs? And when I told them it was only 10%, they fell off their chairs. So yes, somebody's making money in Haiti. Nursing schools, not the nurses. They're not finding jobs. So they're all being encouraged to go to university. They all have a dream of becoming nurses. And what happens after they finish becoming a nurse? Well, they learn to work somewhere else, or they try to find work. So it's a real problem in Haiti. A lot of youths, too many of the youths, are not being trained up to do work. So when they become adults, they got a great diploma. They have great social skills. It's incredible. These children live together, play together, go to school together. Their social ties are a step above what our children are living in our schools. We're teaching our kids to be individuals. They're learning to work together. And we want to be able to help these children find work in the future. So we have a very hard task in front of us. Not only do we want to develop a trade school, but I want to develop trade school links. Because if somebody has a trade school, let's say they're doing mechanics, why would I want to start a mechanic trade school when a brother of mine has a mechanic trade school and he's suffering? He needs students, he needs teachers, so let's help them. So let's do a network. So that's what I was doing in Haiti the last time. I was building a network. And there was a beautiful story that came out of this network. Orphanages have a real tough time in Haiti because they're sponsored for 18 years of life of the child. But when they reach 18, the child has to give up his place so another child can come in. But once they reach 18, where do they go? I like to tell you that young ladies in orphanages have it worse. Because when they finish their orphanage, they usually finish high school about the same time, they're on the street now. Where do they go? They're looking for a man to take care of them financially, emotionally, and protect them. And then they land up pregnant, and the guy goes, goodbye. So they're quite aware of the problem they're living. And one of these orphanages, the first time I passed by that place, which was last year, I mentioned to them our project. They heard what we were saying we want to do. But we're not on the field yet. So the person, I believe, took that information and brought it to the organization, and somebody there had a great idea. They went and found a Christian organization that has a trade school where these girls could go to school there and learn a trade. And they asked them, and they said, can we build a house for our girls on your property? And they said, yes. So they're building a transition house from an orphanage to work. Going through a transition house, will they learn a trade? Isn't that fantastic? I know who they are. So when I was in Port-au-Prince, and that was orphanage for girls in Port-au-Prince, when I was in that region at the other end of Haiti, I met another orphanage. They have 200 kids. Well, you say, well, that's not incredible. What's incredible is they started 10 years ago with one. After 10 years, they got 200. And the person that's in charge of this ministry was looking at me going, I cannot send my kids that are 18 years old into the streets. They don't know how to do anything. And we want to start a trade school. He also was almost begging me to come and work with him. So we put these two situations in front of the Lord. One, which is at one end of the Haiti, and the other one is the other end of Haiti. And we said to the Lord, where do you want us to go? So when I was in Haiti the last time, I wanted to stay 1 week more. Unfortunately, the airline company would not accept us to break our ticket, to buy a ticket 1 week later. So we had a few days left, and we went before the Lord, and we said, well, where do we go? Do we go left, or do we go right? So if we're looking at the map, we went right. So we went up to the right for a second time and met the ministry where we wanted to take root. It's called Anatot. So on the 9th of October, we will be living at Anatot. But we have all these links with all these other places. So that's where our ministry will start. We will establish our foot there, start working with them to start a trade school, help them, and connect with the other trade schools. Because we don't want to stop our children from going there where the Lord is going to call them. Even our children do that. How many of you, your children, have gone somewhere else to study? Sometimes our children go to the other end of the country. Sometimes our children go to the States because there's an opportunity for them to study there and get a degree. I believe our children are being called to do this. So I think it's the same thing in Haiti. I believe that through the trade school, we will bring up godly children who will have an impact in their country because they will learn to trust in the Lord, because we're going to give them biblical principles. Because it has to start with Jesus. But salvation does not stop with a little child that says, I accept Christ as my personal Savior in a classroom. Because when you're in Haiti and you ask a child if they want to accept Christ, they all lift their hand. Hey, my job's over. They accepted Christ. No, it just started. It's just like a newborn baby. Do you take your children as newborn babies and you put them in front of the fridge? They're a toddler. They're on their back. And you open the fridge and you say, this is where the food is, and you close the door, feed yourself. That'd be ridiculous. Babies cannot feed themselves. They cannot open the fridge door. How old before a kid can open a fridge door? Too young. Because they leave it open. No, they just pull it in and leave it open, and they go away. They don't know how to feed themselves yet. So we have to train them up. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That applies to our children also. We want to help our children to grow up. We didn't abandon our kids. We look around us and there's a few youths here. We didn't abandon them. We gave them everything they needed so they can grow up. So going to Haiti and just bringing them Christ in a ravine and talking about Jesus and playing with them, it cannot just stop there. There's a number of ministries that God gives to church. Pastor, evangelist, pastor, doctor, and the two other I keep forgetting. I hope you got a better memory than me. Prophet and apostle. So he's equipped the church with all that. Why? Because there's a growth in our spiritual life. How many of you, when your child became 12 years old, they accepted Christ, they said, okay, it's over for you. I don't have to do anything more. You got Christ, you got everything. Go live on your own. I only know of two people in my life that I met when they were 14 years old, they left home. One, because he left home because he said he had it with his home, left his country in Africa, went to France. He was 14 years old, went to France, got an education, and I met him in Montreal, in Quebec City. He was a Gideon. He got himself an education in France. He left Africa on his own, had no money, went to France, got an education, came to live in Canada. Another person that I met, when she was 14, she got married, had her first child at 15, had her grandchild at 30, had her great-grandchild at 45, and today she's 75 years old, and I don't know how many children she has, and grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Okay, that's an exception. But that gives us an idea. If we can do something with somebody that's 14 years old, with the Holy Spirit in them, great. But they're not all like that. They're not all like that. They need help. They need nurturing. They need to be guided. I'd like to go to PowerPoint 19, Wendy. Aren't they beautiful? It's quite amazing when they're this young compared to 3 or 4 years later. The smiles are all gone. I'm so surprised. When they're so young, they got these beautiful smiles, and all of a sudden, just a few years later, the smiles are gone. I think this is the age group that we have to bring the smiles, bring Jesus, and to keep the smiles and Jesus the rest of their life. And that's where my wife comes in. The Lord is calling her to work with the little ones. So this little village where we will be staying has more than we have imagined possible for living in Haiti, in terms of living conditions and possibility of doing ministry. We're in a village where we have access to the school. There's over 200 children in the school. There's a number of families that live there, so they'll be able to teach us the culture and the language. We have access to our vehicle. We have access to logement, a place to stay. We've got all these children that come to school every day. So my wife will be able to do a ministry with the children in the school, talking about Christ, bringing Christ. I will have the opportunity when they need help in terms of the school, because I have a degree in math, so I can teach math. When I saw the blackboard with the children, while I was teaching a math course that day, because they needed help. So we'll be able to integrate in a complete, secure Haitian environment where you can grow in a culture, we can grow in language, and after about a year of being there, we'll be able to expand upon the ministry we want to do of starting a trade school. So what we need is your prayers. Because I was brought up in prayer. When I came to Christ, the first thing I learned was praying and the importance of prayer. And if you would like to pray for us, this is a non-soliciting email that we send out every month. It's a newsletter. So if you would like to receive our newsletter, we have little pieces of paper. And I would like to ask you if you would like to receive our newsletter so you can pray for us. That's where it all starts. Because I'm a firm believer that if we're not praying, nothing is going on. We're doing humanitarian work at best. But if we want to do missionary work, we need prayer. So if you would like to join us in our newsletter, we have a little piece of paper like this. We can give it out. My wife has a... Would you give them out, honey? So if you would like to pray for us and receive our newsletter, please take this little piece of paper, write your first name and your family name, des lettres détachées, capital box letters, okay? Just for your name and family name, box letters, and I'm talking about not handwritten, you know, because I have to be able to decipher your handwriting. But if you can write printed letters, okay, I thought it was another word. Printed letters, write your first name and your last name, and after that, please write your email. So it's only three things, first name, last name, and email, and then we'll add you to our email list, and you will receive once a month a newsletter indicating where we're at, what was going on, And we'll also have a section for prayer. And that's where we need you. Because our goal is to fill these children with not only head knowledge of Christ, practical experience of Christ, living their faith in a community with other children, sharing their faith, but also at the same time learning theoretical and practical training so that when they finish school, hopefully by then, we'll also have not only a trade school, but a placement school. Because if the Lord gives me favor and I can make a connection with all the other ministries, the trade school that we will start at our place might respond to a need of another place. So we'll start a network. And as the children grow and this network grows, I'm hoping to find favor with companies so that we can place our children in companies. These kids have to learn so many things, and we have to invest in their life, but it all starts with prayer. So if you'd like to pray for us, my wife will now distribute the little cards, if you can just stand up. And if you'd like to receive a card, my wife will give you a card, and I would ask you just to print your name, family name. Wait, this is Brie. C'est les gens qui veulent une carte. If people would like a card. It's not an obligation. It's on your part, it's a volunteer to pray for us, and we would appreciate praying for us. Thank you very much. Pastor Bates, thank you for having invited us this day.
So good to have you with us. And I know that back in January, the cold month, we heard it was kind of more of a vision. I like hearing about visions and what God can do through you and with you and to make yourself available. That's the thing is when you get something and God drops a nugget into your heart, say, yeah, Lord, who will go? Lord, send me. And when you have that vision, that's so wonderful to have. So I'm going to call upon the ushers now. We're going to take up an offering for you and your wife today, and we want to pray for you as well. And so I'm just going to call if the ushers would come forward. We want to wait upon you this morning. We want to take up a love offering. We know that this ministry is going to take work, and to work, it takes finances. I mean, nothing comes free in life. How many know that? If you go to Tim Hortons and say, can I have a free cup of coffee? They will say, there's the door, and you have to go. So we want to send off a little gift from Cornwall Pentecostal Church because we know that you can need it in this work. So we're going to do that. So go ahead. We're going to pray over the offering in a minute as we pray for them as well. Go ahead and take up the offering. That would be wonderful. Please do take a card. We have missions all around the world, and every area we see the need, and it's so great in every area. But I'm so glad that you came with us today to share a part of what Haiti is experiencing and going through and facing. Young lives are challenging. We see all around Cornwall kids who are into drugs, doing other things because, you know, it's like the old saying, the idle hands is a devil's workshop. And we want to see our kids being productive and so forth. So we in Cornwall are wanting to see that happen as well. And so Marie-José, if you'd come forward, and I'm just going to invite our board to come, and we're going to pray for them this morning. And I want you to extend your hands towards them. This is not going to be an easy work. Sold your home, wow, to go off into the mission field. That it's kind of like, you know, when you leave here, you've got that lifeline to go to. You've got that home. And we pray that God will always provide a home for you wherever you go. Amen. So we want to pray for you folks right now. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you raise up people when the vision is planted, Lord. And we read from Isaiah that you questioned the very prophet, who will go for me? And the prophet obediently said, here am I, Lord, send me. And so I pray over Peter and Marie-José right now, Lord, that you would give them journey's mercies to go to the nation of Haiti. We ask that they would grant favor. Already you've opened doors. Already you've opened places where they could go and trade schools, the possibility through the orphanages, the things that are happening right now. Lord, we are deeply in gratitude to you for the doors that are opening now, Lord, and I pray that many more doors would open, Lord, but I pray that you would just keep your hand upon them, give them good health, give them endurance, give them God's speed as they go, Lord God, every place where they go. Let something happen where the angelic host is around them and blessing them and just doing all manner of things, Lord God. The impossibilities are there, Lord God, as we look to you for that faith that goes through us, Lord. So I pray over them right now, Lord God, that you would bless them abundantly, Lord. Pour your blessing upon them. Fill with them with the Holy Spirit, Lord. In their times of discouragement, Lord, lift them and take them through those times, Lord God. Whenever they feel like they're getting hard-pressed, oh God, lift them to that place so they know that they are soldiers of the cross and that you're walking with them and blessing them, Lord, every step of the way. So we pray that for them right now. Pray for that nation of Haiti. We pray, Lord God, for doors to open. We pray all these things, Lord, and we're looking forward to all the reports that we hear coming in the months ahead, Lord, because of this couple standing in faith for you. So we praise you, Lord. Just bless them abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. I'd like you folks to head out in the foyer before we dismiss everybody, and that way they can come out and ask you questions, give you hugs, and if they hadn't got a card yet, that you would give them a card so we can get the email to you folks. Amen. It's always good to reach out into the world, isn't it, to get the gospel message going forward into our world. So would you stand with me as we just close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the blessings of the Word of God. Lord, we are so blessed here in Canada. Just listening to some of the things that happened, Lord, the nurses that went down to work in Haiti, 100% of them already have a place to go to. Lord, we are blessed in this nation of Canada. We have so much. Help us not to take for granted all the things that we have here in Canada. But Lord, we bless you. We praise you, Lord, for the nation that we have. Lord, we're sending out workers. We're sending out missionaries from Canada. Lord, you're raising up people. You're raising up young people. You're raising up couples, singles. You're raising them up to take the gospel message to the world. Lord, we know that your word says that you will take your word into all this world, and then the end will come. So we thank you, Lord, for every effort that we send from this nation of Canada, every effort that comes from the province of Quebec, the province of Ontario, everything around this area would be such a blessing to see the gospel going forward. So thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the visions that we hear about. Thank you for the blessings, Lord, of our missions work all around this world. Go with us now, Lord, and give us a good day and a good week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.